Okay, so we'll call the meeting to order and we'll go around the room and say who's present. Let's start Sue Svensson, Chair.
Bobby Olson.
Stephanie Hill.
Pat Vinches.
Cindy Frankie.
Lynn Parker.
Liz Grauer.
Holly Blosser.
Terry Jones.
Paul Scarpelli.
Lisa Fader.
All right, the minutes are all recorded, so there's no approval of minutes and no public forum tonight.
What are you looking at?
Do I have the wrong one? Yes, I do.
Oh.
This is a really old one.
These
I don't even know where it came from.
Girl Cat Community Program.
Okay, so let's start that over again. So this showed up in the pile of stuff that I printed out, but it was...
That's okay.
I don't know. Feral
Cat. So I have a block of stuff to kind of talk about, some updates of things that we have been working on, most of which everybody knows, but some of which might be new. So we did recommend the code changes to the City of Vancouver for the feral, to allow for the Feral Community Cat Program, which we've been talking about for a long time, and that was approved in the city. We are taking it to the county next, which should happen in the next month or two, where we'll be making the recommended changes. We also are internally starting to develop our program to sort of figure out how we're going to, you know, make this work. And so we expect that we'll be implementing something within the second half of the year in terms of sort of getting started with, at least in the city, being able to do our feral and community cat program. Coincidentally, we did have some
interaction
to our program from one organization that Feral Cat Coalition, who opposes our feral and community cat program. And so they have written a letter to the county commissioners letting them know that they oppose our program. And
can you explain that? Right. Because basically you're not doing the trap, neuter, and release.
No.
You're simply taking cats wherever they came from that they end up at your shelter, and you're fixing them, putting them back.
Right.
I don't see what's to oppose. But
right. So,
wait a minute. How does that differ from trap, neuter, release?
They're not going out and actively finding the cats to bring in.
So somebody else is bringing them in?
If somebody has a nuisance cat, they bring them in, and then they
So somebody else traps them, and then you neuter them and release.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
So there
much
are
less aggressive.
So there are two. There is a distinction between the two different programs that we are proposing we operate and what Feral Cat Coalition does. Feral Cat Coalition does a traditional TNR, which is trap, neuter, release program, and so they work with people who trap feral cats, bring them in for altering, and then take them back, and they sign a paper stating that they will be the caretaker of these cats. They alter several thousand cats every year through this program. Mm-hmm. Our program that we're proposing is technically called an SNR program, which is shelter, neuter, release. And that means that people who bring cats in to us that maybe would come in through the way we would traditionally take in cats as a shelter, but instead of euthanizing them because we can't find an adoptive home for them, we would then take them back to wherever they were found after, of course, altering and vaccinating, et cetera, and release them back to the original location where they were found. The difference between these two programs is the signature from someone who says that they are going to take care of the cats or be the caretaker of these cats.
So that's their objection, that there isn't anybody taking responsibility for the cat afterwards, and potential starvation and those
but
things
are
still there.
But if the cat is in good shape when it came in, it's very likely to be somebody's pet anyway that's semi-feral and just needs to be... I mean, I have them at my place, very healthy, very intact cat.
Yes.
Stays very healthy eating my cat's food.
Yes.
And I haven't trapped
Our argument, if you will, or our position, is that a cat that has an opportunity at life, even if it's a life on the street, is preferable to a cat that has 100% chance of dying by being euthanized because we cannot find placement in an adoptive home for a cat. So our position is that, yes, there might not be somebody, there might be, but we don't know that, and we don't have somebody raising their hand and saying, hey, I'll do this. Whether they do or not is a question.
And you're not actually going out and finding people in the neighborhood to say, anyone want to feed this?
So
the people who trap the cat for you and bring it in because it's a nuisance cat in the neighborhood, are they notified that the cat will probably end up back in their neighborhood?
Yes. When they bring the cat in and we can very clearly see that it's a cat that is not likely to be adopted or not likely to be, you know, able to be placed, we tell them that this is what's going to happen, that we will take this cat in and we will alter it and we will put it back out.
And what
in the place
happens if they say absolutely do not let this animal back out loose on my property?
Well, if it's a private, we won't be releasing anything on a private property.
Okay.
So that there's
so
no
being more like BPA right away is
correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah. We could not go onto private property and release a cat. So, but we would release it in the street or in.
But in the same area.
In the same.
Came.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
in
it's effectively back at their place.
Now we also are. We expect that this program is small enough that there can be accommodations made for people who say, if you let this cat back, I'm going to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that cat would obviously not be safe, and we wouldn't knowingly place a cat back in a situation where we suspect that they will be, you know, injured or in danger. So we would find a different location. Maybe that cat would go to our barn cat program, which we successfully place maybe 100 cats or so a year through our barn cat program.
Mm-hmm. And are they tipped?
Oh, yes.
But not chipped?
No, not chipped, but ear-tipped. Okay. Not microchipped, but ear-tipped.
Is there a
and vaccinated. No.
Okay.
There is
and,
not.
And in their opposition, is there any chance that they would then say, well, then we'll take charge of that animal once you've spayed and neutered it, and we'll find it a home and a person to sign it?
No.
No.
I couldn't imagine that they would.
That being said, Feral Cat Coalition has always and will continue to accept cats from Clark County as long as there is a caregiver who brings them feral cats. So that
and
it's
takes
not
them back
and
again
takes them back.
So they're going to Portland. I find one here and I go to Portland to that.
Yep. Yes.
And then I bring it back here. And, you know.
Yes. Yes.
So how many are you talking locally?
At most.
Three.
200 a year and probably closer to 100, the way that our intake has gone down so drastically.
And in some way, does that impact the cost? How does that affect the cost of treating the cat?
To us or to you? Oh, yes. To the county / city.
I know the answer. I'm
yes, sorry. The city or county, the municipalities that we contract with, will actually be charged a lower fee for the cats that come in for this program as opposed to a domestic cat because we don't have to hold the cat for 3 days, 3 to 5 days. So the cats that come in for this program will be altered the next day. So it's a 24-hour turnaround, and we can therefore charge the city / county a smaller fee for those services. So
you guys doing surgery for 7 days a week now?
We are starting to go up to 5.
Oh.
So the reality is there are some cats that are going to end up
occasionally
being
but
the other reality is that with that small number of cats it's not going to be a huge impact, but we were trying to develop an incentive for this and when we do get going on a regular basis it will be a much, you know, shorter turnaround time. So,
well, and the other thing that's kind of not said is that the staff burnout rate for just killing cats.
Yeah.
You know, hi.
Yeah.
My job is killing cats. Okay. You know, you just can't keep people happy. And
well, they haven't had to do that in a long time.
They have not, but at the same time, they were the most excited. The staff, when we announced that we had finally got this change made, there were several people who were very, very happy about this. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, we have come a very long way. We don't euthanize animals, mm-hmm. cats or dogs, that are healthy, adoptable animals. But we do euthanize healthy cats. And as far as I'm concerned, a healthy feral cat is still a healthy cat.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. it's not, you know, okay to me, the only outcome for this cat is euthanasia. So, mm-hmm. And that is, while it is certainly a difficult thing for the staff to do, much less difficult than it used to be, but still, it is something that nobody enjoys doing. People are okay or can understand, or it's an acceptable practice to euthanize an animal that is severely injured or sickly or severely aggressive, mm-hmm. or, you know, something like that. But it's very different to, you know, have to euthanize a cat that, you know, had the misfortune of being caught in a trap, and that is mm-hmm. the only thing mm-hmm. that put it in this situation. So you know, we'll see what happens. The Feral Cat Coalition, it's unfortunate. And of course, we also know that our wildlife friends have had some concerns about this mm-hmm. program as well, and that is completely and totally understandable. Our position on that end is still that we don't believe that the number of cats that we will be doing this with will make a real significant impact, as well as the fact that, again, these cats are here. We're not making it worse.
Yeah, potentially reducing the number of cats over
time.
Mm-hmm. There's a note here about the Feral Cat Coalition February promo, which, funny enough, was totally separate from this thing that happened this week with their opposition to our program. They're doing a free February spay-neuter. So
For feral or stray.
Yeah. Right. They do only feral or stray cats.
And they do accept them from Southwest Washington,
right.
But you have to take them over there.
To mm-hmm. Portland, right.
And we've always, and the county has put this out through its media conduits, but I've made sure that they attach to it the fact that the Humane Society does offer a mm-hmm. spay and save program mm-hmm. for Southwest Washington.
Mm-hmm. And we will take feral cats as well from caretakers.
Yeah, right.
So, dangerous dog codes in the city and county. So, we have had a couple of recent cases that, in conjunction with animal control, that have come up, and that it's kind of highlighted some issues that we've all been working on. And so we met with the city attorneys and county attorneys recently, and we're working on some policy changes and code changes and things like that that we'll kind of be talking about, I'm sure, over the next little while. So the two cases can we use names? One case where
no,
a gentleman was accused. Right, okay. Gentleman was found on videotape in an apartment elevator. So he's in the elevator in his apartment complex, hitting his dogs with two dogs, two pit bulls, and the security camera caught everything in the elevator. And so the apartment manager contacted animal control, and the dogs were seized as part of an investigation. So this particular case is ongoing and still is, I think they have a court date coming up in March. But the reason it's been sort of on top of our minds lately is because the dogs are being held as, well, were being held as evidence. We just got the release to release the dogs a few days ago.
And this was October?
September. Mid-September. Mm.
So two dogs in quarantine, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. which is a burden on the whole system, mm-hmm. and really not the right thing for the dogs,
mm-hmm, right,
as well. And so we kept trying to address that particular issue with mm-hmm. the attorneys, but what about the dogs? But mm-hmm. what about the dogs? Well, we haven't gone to court yet, and they are evidence, was sort of the standard answers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what we're proposing, and the attorneys are looking into this, is just some basic code changes that would allow the Humane Society, in these circumstances, when we do have to handle hold animals as evidence, if we can at least spay and neuter them, and then potentially utilize maybe some anti-anxiety medications or something like that in cases where a veterinarian would recommend that this, you know, be utilized.
So you can't even do that when they're...
Well, that one's a little bit of our vets, yes, we can do it, but... they don't like to. They feel
they're not our animals.
Right.
They don't belong to us.
They
but
feel
you're the caretaker.
Like they our veterinarians
he hasn't
want,
relinquished ownership.
Right.
Your veterinarians are weenies.
Our veterinarians want the backup of some code changes to justify this.
Okay.
So yes, we can do it, and will. We have not. So the spay and neuter aspect of it, no,
yeah,
we cannot.
Right.
That's permanently, you know, altering an animal. However, there are also the taking the animal into consideration and the fact that they are essentially in, you know,
limbo.
Confinement, in limbo
yeah.
for literally months at a time, and it is not humane.
They
it
don't
just
allow you
is
to
not
foster
humane.
Them out? I'm thinking like with children. If children are into abusive cases, they
yeah.
don't just put them in a jail cell and so
right.
we're going to hold
part
you.
Of the issue is that it's already an aggressive dog or
if it's, now that's a different
altered,
story.
Exactly.
Right. That
yeah,
might be
different.
Exactly.
Unaltered
right.
aggressive dog.
Exactly.
Maybe you could move
were
to
these
where
dogs
it be.
Aggressive dogs?
Let's just say we don't.
In this particular case?
I'm not going to say that they are aggressive dogs. One of them is is very high energy, very high strung, what we call rowdy, mouthy, jumpy,
mm-hmm.
RMJ,
mm-hmm.
High anxiety, high, very mm-hmm. difficult to handle,
mm-hmm.
requires at least two people even on a walk outside.
Mm-hmm.
And even with, you know, an active calendar of daily enrichment in the fenced area and, you know, all kinds of things, still is not able to be, you know, humanely, as far as I'm concerned, housed, you know, and is borderline difficult for even the best of foster homes to be able to handle. So, especially after being our shelter.
Yeah.
So now there are other situations, like we have our LARCH program now, so
mm-hmm.
this is where this dog is being sent right
oh, good.
Now. So
good.
But it's also, you know, do you release a dog that has the potential to escape a foster home? That's part of a court
right.
case. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a small dog that you have a pretty reasonable expectation that they a foster home can safely house, but you know that's a pretty big risk
yeah.
to put. So,
and they're not concerned about the dog's behavior, so
oh, no.
retraining or anything is
no.
fine. That's not part of the evidence that
no.
they show.
They don't.
They just
it's evidence against the human. The dogs aren't the perpetrator.
Right.
The victim.
Right. And well, and
right.
And they just may have to be returned to them is the real issue.
Exactly.
That they if
yeah.
they win the case and are.
Yeah.
set free, they get their dogs back.
Right. Right. So in this particular case, there are certain civil things that he has not appealed, that the owner has not appealed, like a denial of redemption, essentially. So he lost his right to redeem the dogs once they were seized. And then he did not appeal that. So, and then the
he appealed the denial of redemption and lost an appeal, and then he did not appeal that
yeah,
loss,
right.
and so thus he lost.
They're surrendered.
Correct.
Correct.
No.
Finally. And the attorneys finally said to us, okay, you know, we, even if he were to win the case,
which is cruelty to animals. So
right.
It's against him personally if he were to prevail. It still doesn't matter. The dogs are gone.
Because he has, he had an opportunity and he did not.
Okay, correct.
That's nice to know.
Right. Good. And the attorneys don't are not concerned that they that we hold the dogs. So they just the other day agreed to release the dogs. So at the same time, the Humane Society has you know, a responsibility to make sure that we're not adopting out dogs that are caught up in the middle of a court case. And so, as we are very well aware of what happens when you adopt out a dog that has an owner, you know, now I know that these are very different situations, but we are still a little bit nervous about placing these dogs into an adoptive home. And so, not to mention the fact that we need to figure out, especially whether the one, the other one I think will be fine, but the one is not just the dog that you can place into a, you know.
Maybe it could be a permanent large resident and
yeah.
teach all the new guys
maybe.
How to handle dogs.
Maybe.
Crazy dogs.
What kind of change codes, like changes are you looking at?
The city has been paying
us. What's your question?
All that you're getting
yeah.
paid by the city?
Mm-hmm. We get paid by the city, according to our contract, $25 a day per dog. So, and the city covers the cost because this happens to be a city case. It would be the county if it was a county case.
And if he loses, he has to pay that?
Yes, he has to pay restitution, of which the fees will be a part of that.
But to the city, not to you.
But to
so
the
you're
city.
You're not going to be on
yeah.
the, okay.
No. No.
That
we're
looks
not
like a rock and a hard place, though, to get it changed.
It is. Yeah, it is. And I don't know how far we'll get, but I think it's certainly worth a conversation because it's not... It's as you know, this is not an easy situation, and these dogs are literally, you know, here for months at a time.
Yeah.
Are you
at least,
dogs.
Yeah. Are you at least allowed to ask the person to surrender their fertility? I mean, it's worth a shot if
we
could come up with, because that does make them easier to handle.
Yeah, and sometimes they haven't done it just because of cost themselves.
Right.
They feel like,
so,
oh, yeah.
So they might jump at it.
Well,
but
pretty much anything
not.
That the owner gives them permission to do, it.
We could do. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah,
do.
But that
as long as you get
it
in writing.
Right. Something that's been pursued. So
right.
It's just
no.
a thought.
You're right. And, you know, in most cases, well, in this case in particular, I'm fairly confident that that would be, you know, the furthest thing from what this owner would be willing to do, but in most cases when you've taken somebody's animals, they're not particularly inclined to be accommodating or cooperative to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know.
Especially
so
the type to beat.
Especially once
yeah.
you say that.
I do know, you know, back the last, it's been several years now, but we had a case where we seized 40-some-odd cats at one point, and that particular owner, we held them for a good amount of time, did agree to allow us to spay and neuter some of the cats. So, but those are cats. It's a very different
mm-hmm.
situation. So, but that's actually a good point. Anyway, so that's one case. The other case involved a dog that killed another dog. This dog, Jane, had broken out of her wherever she was. We don't really even know where she was living. And ran into a fenced yard, broke into a fenced yard where two chihuahuas were playing, killed one of the chihuahuas, and attacked the other chihuahua. In the house, there was a grandmother with two young children, a toddler and a six-ish year old. And seeing this whole thing out through the sliding glass door.
That's dramatic.
And anyway, the grandmother managed to call the second dog in, and she got away, and the dog got into the house.
Oh, God.
Jane, the little dog, sorry. Thank God. Well, so Jane, the attacker, then proceeded to, you know, slam into the sliding glass door after the dog. Then went, the grandmother put the dog in the laundry room and put the kids into the bedroom, and the dog went at the window of the kids in the bed because the kids were like looking out the window, you know, and so the dog's charging the window. And finally, yeah, so the sheriff sheriff's office, I think, responded first, or police, and the dog, Jane, jumped into the officer's car, just as happy as could be, you know, no problem whatsoever. She had found a soccer ball and was playing with the soccer ball by that point.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so...
What was Jane? What breed?
She's a pit bull. Animal control officer responded and took custody of the dog, took pictures, took a statement from the grandmother, et cetera, et cetera. And took the dead chihuahua back with us. So we had the dog in custody, and the dog had a collar with two phone numbers on it. And we contacted the phone numbers, one of which was not in service, and the other one was answered by a woman named Melanie, who was in California, and she stated that she was a trainer and had had custody or care of the dog for 2 years in California, but had given custody of the dog to a guy in Eugene. And anyway, to make a long story short, this was a rescue group, of some very loosely based rescue group that goes into shelters in California and pulls dogs and sends them all over the place. And
adoption fees.
Yeah. And
so I have to assume it was an altered dog.
Yeah, it was, yeah. She was altered. Yeah.
I just don't know of too many that are that aggressive that have been altered. So
yeah.
It's
they're OCD and they have a high prey drive.
Yeah. This dog definitely did. This dog was extremely dog aggressive. So a few days go by. So Melanie gave us the name of a gentleman who she said owned the dog, because they had records of who was the adopter of the dog, this guy named Brandon, and gave us Brandon's phone number. We contacted Brandon, tried to contact Brandon for several days, nothing. And we left messages, everything. He never contacted us. And a few days go by, and now just after the stray hold is lifted, somebody knocks on our door one day and says that they're here to pick up Jane, that they're taking her to a sanctuary in Texas. And it's somebody who's associated with this rescue group. And so we didn't know anything about this, who these people were, what was going on. And so we said no, and we said, tell us, we actually have an application process for this, and so give us the information and we'll consider it this. And make a long story short, this rescue, or the sanctuary in Texas was, I am sure that they do okay, but it's 80 dogs held in a, duct tape and chicken wire type facility with one person who lives there and, takes care of lots and lots and lots of dogs. Mm-hmm. And
for a dog aggressive dog
who has already broken into a fenced yard to go after a dog, this was not a situation that we felt comfortable releasing Jane into this people's custody. So, and this all happened over Thanksgiving and everything, so some time had gone by. And so bottom line is, we said no. And we said no, we were not going to release the dog to them. And furthermore, we were not going to release the dog to anybody. Because by this time, we said, you know what, this is Jane's. And of course, she had been displaying a significant level of dog aggression to the point where we couldn't even walk her. She was so highly aggressive to the other dogs in the shelter, so she had to be quarantined. And so when we told them we weren't going to do this, and meanwhile we had people contacting us from all over the state. I had the board chair of HSUS contact somebody at HSUS, who contacted me because she knew me, to try and advocate for this dog. And nobody, of course, knew what had happened, just that we were going to kill a dog, and, oh, my God, what are you going to do? And it was pretty difficult. So bottom line was, they obtained an attorney to prevent us.
Who obtained the attorney?
Let's say the Texas Rex.
Okay.
go with that.
Although I don't even know if it's a test. It was one of these people. I don't know how their
attorney showed up at your door.
Attorneys, attorneys, their attorneys, our attorneys.
There's like 15 people associated with this. It is a very long and complex, and that I don't even understand, you know.
It's a principal thing, not an individual dog.
They got an attorney, and this attorney, unfortunately, is the one person who could have actually forced us to release the dog to them, and
they don't have to show ownership or something. I mean, how could they?
Well, they did. This is the whole thing. So they claimed, this is a good one too.
The story.
They claimed that a guy named Tim, let's call him Tim. That I think is his name, who we've never talked to or met or even heard of before up until this point, adopted the dog from the LA County shelter 2 years ago. And Tim adopted the dog legally to this Brandon guy who lived in Vancouver and still has, to this day, has never come forward. Tim had an adoption contract with Brandon, and Brandon violated the contract. So because Brandon violated the contract by allowing the dog to go run at large, Tim is the owner.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Ownership. Yeah. Falls back to him.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, any good rescue group is going to do that.
Yeah. So, Tim is the owner of this. And further, because Jane was impounded, because she killed a dog, she technically qualified as a dangerous dog and therefore had to be handled under the dangerous dog code in the city, versus just the straight impound code, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which is essentially 3 to 5 days, period. Humane Society owns the dog. And the dangerous dog code is significantly more involved and requires things like posting. If you don't know an owner, you've got to post in the paper, you've got to hold them for a particular number of days, you've got to
give. I say it's harder to try and give a dangerous dog back to somebody than a good dog.
It should be the other way.
Because the city wants to know who owns it so they can go after them and make sure that they're following the rules and paying the insurance and fencing the yard and doing all those things that you need to do if you have a dangerous dog.
Right.
If the dog had been euthanized, they wouldn't have to worry. I'm sorry, they're just some dogs.
Yeah.
I know that there are some.
Yeah. So, so we ended up having to give the dog to these people. The good news is that they paid quite a bit amount of money for the care of the dog, as well as several citations and between running at large, vicious behavior.
Will there be any restitution back to the dead chihuahua?
Yeah,
owner?
What do they have? Unless they do a civil case?
I don't remember that.
They have to do a civil case. Okay.
The dog no longer in the county?
Dog's no longer in the state of Washington.
Excellent.
So that was part of the, we had a settlement agreement, and they had to remove the dog immediately within 12 hours out of the state of Washington, and there is a stipulation in the settlement agreement that wherever the dog ends up, they are required to give them notification. The dog was actually officially declared dangerous as part of this agreement. Good. And so they are required to show the local animal control authorities in wherever they end up. And then whoever adopts the dog or whatever from that point on. Enforcing that one. Yeah, she's microchipped. Okay. So enforcing that's, you know, I don't know how we're ever going to do that. I don't expect to ever hear from these people again, but
can't you contact the microchip company and make sure that there's a dangerous dog designation on that? Did you guys microchip it?
We did not microchip it. I don't know.
That might be
that's
something
a good
to look
point.
At.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a possibility or not, but it certainly is worth an effort. Anyway, so it's, you know, one of the. It was a very difficult thing for us to go through. It took a tremendous amount of time and energy because, of course, we had an attorney mm-hmm. who, thank God, did everything pro bono for us. You guys spent a lot of time on it. We spent a lot of time on it. And I think that ultimately, this will lead to some amount of code changes. Now, what and where, we're not quite sure. It also will lead potentially to some policy changes, because it is pretty rare that animal control impounds a dog as a dangerous dog, because it's much more complicated. And if you don't know an owner, then it's much more complicated, and so we just take them in as a stray. But...
And if no one redeems it, then you kind of have your answer as to the
right.
disposition of the animal.
Right. But now the city attorney is telling us that we need to be handling each dog that comes in that has killed another animal, cat, dog, you know, chicken even, or has exhibited behavior consistent with a dangerous dog description as a dangerous dog, even if, you know, we don't have an owner. And so, therefore, it's going to cause us to, you know, put more time and effort and energy in animal control, more time and effort and energy into these dogs so that we're properly following the law. Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of months.
Yeah, seems a little illogical to me.
Well, and this is, you know, some ongoing, you know, chain things. I'm not sure, you know, where this is going to end up, you know, or what we're going to end up changing because of it. But
is this a dog that you would have chosen to have euthanized based on her
recipe? Without question.
See, that's why I just think, well, then if at the end of the 3 days, if what you would have done is that, what difference does it make?
Yeah. We feel very strongly that the dog is a danger to other animals and people, because if the dog attacked another animal and somebody tried to, you know,
well, the fact that it looked at the window with the kids peeking out kind of makes me a little bug.
They get wound up and they just start thinking.
So this may lead to us bringing to you all some language. The city's civil attorney and a representative from the city manager's office met with us. Was it this week? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was this week.
And they gave me something today kind of at the last minute, but they, you know, they like draft. And I'm reading it, and it needs some work. But we at least wanted to give you the basis for why in the next months we will be coming to you with something that helps perhaps close a loophole or two.
Yes. And potentially prevents a dangerous dog from being released back into the community, even if it's not our community. Because that, you know, it was a very difficult thing for us to do.
And I hope you, what she just said, they are the Humane Society for Southwest Washington. Their foremost thing is humanity. And for them to say that this dog probably shouldn't see the light of day tomorrow is a huge thing for them.
And how many dogs do you get that kill another dog that are allowed back out in the world? Does that happen a lot?
No.
Well,
Dog?
The owners have to go through large
But for the most part, don't they opt and to then, have the animal euthanized?
Right,
the vast majority of the time.
Yeah, the owners usually give the okay for that.
Right. Countywide, we have 10, maybe 10.
I know when they issued the permit for her, she was number 65, and that was from
forever.
The inception of this program, which has been several years. So there are very, very few dogs that are actually that actually would go back to an owner or back into the community that have killed another dog. It just it's not something that we.
But you're free. You're not responsible if now they take that dog and it does attack a human wherever it goes. They can't come back and say, well, what did you guys, what were you thinking? Because the legal system has taken over and said,
But they might.
Yeah, absolutely.
They might try, but they probably didn't get to
it. They might, We've got a pretty tight settlement agreement.
Good.
Good.
But let's hope it doesn't happen. But
I know.
On the Banfield.
So... We actually had a tour of Banfield. We had a board meeting at Banfield last month, I think it was.
The day the snow started.
Oh. Yes, oh. the day the snow started.
That morning.
At Banfield's new facility, yeah. And got a tour by their CEO and just really trying to see what kind of partnership might be possible with Banfield. You know, we'll see. They have been very helpful. They gave us $30,000 toward the X-ray machine, which kickstarted our, you know, X-ray program, which has just been unbelievably helpful. I mean, you know, Liz, I can't even imagine how we operated without it, and it's only been 6 months that we've actually had the equipment. They use it almost every single day, and it has just upped the level of our, you know, of our medical program significantly. But and they have volunteer groups that come. They built our Freedom Fence, our fenced play yard areas, and they send their facilities people out. I guess they have a roving band of facilities workers that go to each Banfield hospital and do facilities work. And so as part of their rotation, every quarter now, they're going to be stopping at our facility and doing projects. Nice. So
every quarter now? Because they were always limiting themselves to October only for their volunteer work.
Well, that's just their, like, day of service or whatever it is. This is a separate thing they're doing just for us.
We had tried to partner with them. They kept wanting to do all this volunteer work for it, but they could only do it in October.
Yeah, I mean, they actually have more volunteer days than October, and because now they're in Vancouver, I think they're more open to
serving the local community.
But they're a corporation, and they have corporation things, and so you get what you get, and so we're trying to take advantage of that, and we'll see what happens in the future.
So he did make Vincent did make an interesting announcement that I don't think had hit the press yet, but it was okay for him to speak about it. Mm-hmm. So Banfield is by quantity the largest veterinary system in the country.
Corporately owned veterinary.
And they're owned by Mars.
You know, who now owns VCA and
so that
Blue Pearl.
So that day they made the announcement that they went out and bought Veterinary Centers of America, which is like VCA. Number two. Mm-hmm. And I do think it has to go through some, not FDA, but
regulatory.
The feds have to say it's okay, but... and he told us that it's going to be a completely remain a completely separate entity. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, and they've also bought Blue Pearl, which owned
Specialties,
Columbia River Veterinary Specialists.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
So owned, now, but they don't now.
Right, they sold it to Mars.
Ah.
Oh,
right.
So now all three
Banfield
of those groups. Blue Pearl was a corporation of specialty and emergency practices that originated in Florida.
Right.
So they had quite a few practices as well. So now Mars owns them as well.
So CRVS now falls under?
Mm. It's eventually going to be a Banfield.
Yes. CRVS is owned by Blue Pearl. Yes. So
remember who's owned.
Anyway, that's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
It's nice to have them in town, and it is.
It is nice to have them in town.
An opportunity that we're cautious, of course, but certainly going to listen.
Oh, absolutely.
They got
and they employ a lot of our newly graduated veterinarians. You know, so it's a blessing to have a place for people to.
They have a dog park. That they are a private dog park, so you have to. It's free to the public, and you have to have your dog approved to go to their park.
Vetted, basically.
Yeah, essentially. But apparently, you as long as your dog is approved, you can go and use it.
Oh, nice!
And you get an access code.
Mm-hmm.
Does a dog have to have a license?
Uh-huh, yeah, absolutely.
Probably.
Yep. Yeah, they do everything by the book.
They have to show vaccination records and licensing and temperament type testing.
Yeah,
and
that's
what's that at? It's on their property.
Right, yeah. It's on their property there.
Uh-huh. Right on Mill Plain. Just...
Between 164th and 190th.
Yeah, exactly. Like 170-something, 178.
Very handy.
Yeah. It's not huge. It's smallish.
It's quite close to the English Estate Winery, isn't it?
it's right next door to Clark College, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want a dog park that has the winery right up against the fence.
Dog can go run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a combination. Dog park, winery.
Yeah, no, right. I think I just
have,
got my
I have talked for like 45 minutes there,
right.
So I'm
you
done.
Got it?
I'm done.
Okay.
What was long-term task force? Did I fall asleep?
Oh,
that?
I'm sorry.
No,
you know, I didn't talk about that. I think I mentioned it last time where Humane Society's working with a group of staff, volunteers, some community people, board members, to look at sort of the future of the Humane Society. Where are we going? What do we want to do? Where do we want to be in 5 years? And as our industry is changing and our organization has changed so much, you know, what do we want to do? And so we're looking at two sort of tracks, if you will, and investigating how we can potentially provide different services, one of which is centered around low-cost vet care to people who can't afford it. And that would not necessarily mean the Humane Society offering it, just how can we develop a program that people mm-hmm. who can't afford to go to the vet can get vet care. That's one aspect. The other aspect is services to the public. So dog daycare, dog training, potentially boarding, grooming services, things like that, pet supplies, mostly for-profit type entities that could bring in some revenue for the Humane Society, as well as provide resources to people to help care, to help us nurture the pet people relationship, if you will.
Yeah. All right. So Pat, farmers market.
Oh, wasn't looking at the agenda. Okay. So we have the farmers market this year. We start on Saturday, March 25th, and again, it's the fourth Saturday of every month, just like it always has been. So we have the booth for March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and October. And I have our new handy-dandy sign-up sheet, and I'm going to pass it around, and I hope by the time it gets back to me, there will be a bunch of names on it.
I don't have my calendar.
You can sign up for morning, afternoon.
I'll have to wait.
This is all you need.
Midday.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, now this March, I'm doing taxes. April,
yeah,
I think I'm out of town.
Okay, I need an offer by March.
I'm going to send that to you. Yeah.
Did you put it online again?
Yes. It was
I have not.
It was so helpful last time when we saw.
I don't have a calendar.
I know. I was like, an eight.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, if anybody can sign up now, that's great. If you can't, I'll send it out to everybody on email.
Great.
That'd be real helpful because I have certain days that I'm working and I don't know which ones they are without my
without your calendar.
I'll do that one for sure.
I do that online.
I'll have to look.
Dog paw.
So, I got a call from Mark the other day. And he was asking if there was a possibility that Animal Control could have a booth. And I don't imagine it would really be any different than what we do down at the farmer's market. Inside the academy, and there's a room that I'm not remembering the name of, and Dogpaw is going to take 2017 and do some rethinking of...
No.
No? Go ahead.
This is all, because this isn't my baby. That's why I was curious.
Okay.
And I asked him to talk to you.
Okay, go ahead.
I was curious how this came about.
volunteer fair. Without volunteers, we're right. going down right. and stuff. And so either we are rebranding the image or getting ready to do a huge fundraising and all this stuff. I've kind of put the skids on that until we've got people to go out and do the fundraising. You're not going to get the money
right.
because I'm going to be leaving. Mark's leaving. We've got two board members left, yeah. and there aren't any people signing up. Mm. So I've taken on this task. Is I'm going to be putting on a huge volunteer fair, and that's all it is: get volunteers signed up, get them into some positions. You know, I mean, making it fun. If anybody's got any skills that they want to do, I can find an hour for you if you can sit, you know what I'm saying? So I'm putting together this huge... So he asked if he could bring some vendor stuff, and I said it'd be great if they're animal-related. It'd be nice to have maybe Animal Control, Humane Society there. But the majority of it, I wanted to be the volunteer booths for our my people. I'm going to have 20-some volunteers there that are just going to be working the tables and booths and, you know, signing people up. We're going to have a little bit of food and drinks there. And then I limited him to about eight to ten others. So it's at the Academy, the Providence Academy Ballroom.
Ballroom, I said.
So it's a volunteer recruitment fair.
Yeah.
Instead of a job recruitment fair,
exactly.
It's a volunteer
recruitment. It's like a job fair.
Have you tried volunteer match work source? There's a volunteer connections.
Yeah, we're working all.
With volunteer all connections in town.
This is just, okay. Yeah. Okay. So
would it be helpful to have like a booth, are they going to be able to bring their dogs with them?
I don't want dogs there. It's too much a distraction.
No problem. I'm just trying to think
exactly.
things that designer dog can do that would be beneficial, maybe brushing demonstrations mm-hmm. or, you know, demonstrations on how to do Dremel nails. But, you know, it's easier to give a service of mm-hmm. free toenail mm-hmm. trims than it is to give yeah. instructions on dog grooming.
Yeah.
So I've let Mark kind of take over who the extras is going to be as long as he doesn't overfill and overcrowd my volunteer thing mm-hmm. because we do not sign up volunteers. I don't want
But how are you getting them to come to want it?
Well, we're going to be doing some major mass marketing and stuff. Right now the flyers and the cards are being printed that we're going to be plastering everywhere. We're going to go to TV, magazines, newspapers, mm-hmm. radio. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hit the buses, but it's too late. and so social media, they're getting ready to start. We've got a new team doing social media and getting ready for the fundraising part of it, and they're going to be hitting blurbs every other day on this about getting volunteers or going to volunteer match. Okay. There's about five different volunteer type sites. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd like them to be Dog Paw members. I don't care at this point. If they're willing to volunteer a couple hours a month, I'll take anybody.
Yeah. Can you take high school students?
Yeah, we can take, I'm going to kind of say 15 and above. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
But the ones that are getting that their community service
absolutely,
in.
Absolutely,
yeah. That'd
awesome.
Be a great one for them
yeah.
to go help clean up or do some things.
Exactly.
Most of them would rather do that than
yeah.
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 Right.
Yeah.
No
kidding.
What's that?
The volunteer work is just at the dog
it's
park?
No. It's everything. Mm-hmm. It's if you want to be at the dog park picking up poop, that's great. You can sign up. We'll have work parties still. You can be a park site manager. You can be a board member. You can be my volunteer coordinator. You can be my membership director. Mm-hmm. You can be my public relations officer. You can be on the media team. You can be the webmaster. We've got a ton of positions that need to be filled,
mm-hmm.
and we have nobody to do it. And I'm getting ready to pull the plug, and so this is my last big blow because we keep talking about it, but then we get volunteers to start to sign up. The web page goes down. There's no way to track our volunteers, and nobody gets back to them. So if you don't get back to somebody that offers
mm-hmm.
help, you'll never
yeah.
see them again
That's right.
and
mm-hmm.
stuff. So we've been waiting to get the web page all up and running. We've got the new Dog Paw coming out and rebranding,
mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be, of course, going out for some money, but we've got to get volunteers first, because the last thing the marketing team said was, okay, we're going to do our fundraising thing, all hands on deck, and I go, there's three of us.
There's
yeah.
30 hands.
Yeah.
Hands here.
Put the brakes on until we get on
the charge
deck.
A fee
we'll
to get into the park,
so
and that way you get rid of the riffraff and you start bringing some money
so
in.
So we're going
to
pay
people.
I mean, we've
stuff.
Got positions for ambassadors out there. We'll give them training to get out there. We want to do education and community outreach. We've got marketing events. I mean, doing these, even the farmers market type things. All of these things we can do, but we have not been able to do any of it because we have five
mm-hmm.
people running the whole organization.
Yeah.
And so it's really a haul press on mm-hmm. figure out how many positions. And so if you can't do anything physical but you can write, I can put you in working with somebody who's a grant writer
mm-hmm.
or making calls to corporate sponsors, you know, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
We have something for everybody. So it's really important that my focus is volunteer because I know Mark's he's all excited now because we're going to have beer, wine, and food. And I'm
you didn't tell me
wine.
That.
Oh, we'll all be there.
I know, but you know what? He just sent me an email today, and he said, so something. Well, Paul's not sure he'll have the staff to cover it, but if we tell him there's going to be liquor there, he'll probably come.
I'll be right there, too.
I won't be at my booth, but I'll be there. Yeah.
Now, I think it's important if the community people want to use the dog park, they need to understand you can't run these things alone. And that, you know, the volunteer work I do the same. Without we're serving you, but without you helping volunteer, we can't serve you.
So that's what we wanted to try to do is just get the message. We're not trying to push people, but it's like this is a community thing, and without the community doing it, you're not going to have it. And so it's a huge, huge thing. And so again, some of his messages, he's too helpful often. So he goes out, and now I just got another thing, and says, "Well, what about this membership drive you're doing?" I'm like, "It's not a membership drive." So
do you have a flyer or something that you're using to promote it? Okay, because I'll send that out to the page for the dog groomers of
Clark
County.
Yeah, so we intend to blanket.
Okay.
I'm putting it on Fred Meyer bulletin board. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm going to be marshaling 20 or 30 volunteers, and even if they're all 12 years old, that are going to hit everything. I'm going to be library community board. I mean, I've got.
We can put it on Facebook too. Each week, we get it. We can post it on our Facebook page.
So social media has got a huge campaign.
Send it to me. We'll do it.
So right now, they're just finalizing all of that.
All right, great.
So, but
wonderful.
But yeah, if animal control would be there, it'd be great. You know, I think that would be something I'd like to see there. I don't really care a lot about if they have a lot of people trying to sell stuff. I don't want too many distractions.
Yeah,
I
was going to say, over to my table.
You're trying to recruit volunteers.
You want to get them drunk.
But,
I would even say, I don't know if it's a good idea for us to be there because it might be a distraction.
Yeah, because you use volunteers. Too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to,
they want to volunteer here. You're really... You're the one volunteer organization. There shouldn't be any other volunteer organization.
I'm focusing everything right now. I've got a meeting tomorrow with another coordinator who's going to help me lead this. I've got team meetings next week with my small tree team to put this on. So this is going to be rolling. So we're always looking. But I'm going to leave the other stuff to Mark. So if Mark contacts you about the stuff.
Got it.
He's allotted 8 tables, and that's what he gets. Okay. You can fill him out where he wants.
All right. Paul, time
to get coded. All right, so through all of our work the last couple of years, the county council did adopt in November to be effective January 1, all of the title updates that we had requested, except for I forgot one, which was that actually in Title 6, which is where the fee pricing is held.
I read about that in the paper.
Yeah. So I got that approved Tuesday. And so February 1st, in conjunction with the City of Vancouver and the new fees go into effect. So we have had some press. The county's been really good at using social media, although, you know, I don't even know that we have a Facebook page, but through neighbors, nextdoorneighbor.com and a whole bunch of other things, our phones have been blowing up, which is a really great problem. And for the most part, they're new applicants, which is exactly what we're looking for as well. And then there are those that say, well, my license isn't due until May, but, you know, can I get in on today's price? Like, sure, we'll take your money, sure. So that's great. The town of Yakult, we also provide service for, and they did a really great thing in December. They adopted the county's code.
Oh,
so there is no separate town of Yakult ordinances, which were very challenging to even find. Talk about the webmaster. It was really challenging even for their own attorney to tell me what was on the books and what wasn't on the books. So that's great. So February 1st, I did bring, I'll just pass these around. If you have any environment that you're in, be they a Fred Meyer poster board or something where you want to lay these or go door to door with a few of your neighbors, just pass them out. Let me know if you need more.
We've got the dogs running wild in our neighborhood.
Sorry.
I'm taking them to...
I just gave all mine to Sue.
You guys kind of go somewhere, right? My boxes up them?
I'll give it to my neighbor with the little yappy dog that runs around the neighborhood and poops on
my lawn.
As
some of my people are passing out our things, these could go hand in hand with them if they're not already at the site. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is
that something I could do for you?
Would you like me to bring a box to your house tomorrow?
Yep.
Of those?
Yeah, of these.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cole, do you have any more of those trifold?
Yeah, because they have to be licensed to use it.
Applications?
No, they were information, yeah, resources.
Right,
the ones that animal resources. It was white.
The ones that you helped produce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any more of those?
There's probably some in Sue's.
Okay, because I need
trunk now too.
I need a bunch of those. They went over very well.
Where have they been? Where are they already? Where do they not need to go?
They've gone out to the
veterinary clinics.
That's the only place they've gone?
Banfield.
Okay, so they haven't gone to any independent stores?
Not that anybody's.
I'm going to go to the groom shops.
Somebody I know took them to a groomer the other day.
Okay, well, there's a couple of ones close to me. I mean, I could take some there.
I've seen them at all the vets I've been in. So.
That's great.
Different ones, so.
Oh, good. Nice. Yeah, the resource guide is good because it tells you the walk-in places
second chance
to buy a license.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I figure they, if I go like four places.
Nice.
All right.
Does it need to be updated with the license fees?
It's not on
it,
here.
It doesn't have it on there.
No, on the resource guide.
No.
Are the license
no,
fees?
No, it's just fees are not on there.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Because we've been looking. We find, everywhere we look, we have.
Oh, yeah, but that's a resource thing that I made.
Yeah. Does it have the license prices?
No.
I don't think so. I don't
remember seeing
it.
No, I didn't. Because I just gave out 20 of those the other day. And
I think. No, it's not on the trifold, but it's on the paper one that we can read at the that says how much licensing fees are. So that one will have to be updated.
Our Q&A type thing.
Yeah, Q&A sheet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that one needs to be updated.
Yeah, this is
not the down at the farmer's market.
Yeah, or any place that we go that we
Great.
Yeah, this is the one that.
So that handles the signage. Delivery and update. Yes,
Paul. If as long as updating, is Jackie still on here for squirrel rescue? I mean, do we need to redo this?
Don't know yet.
She's making a note.
Yeah, she moves. I wonder.
Well, she said she'd be around for a while. So.
Okay, in a year.
Yeah,
but if she's
so maybe
busy,
she'll find out.
But if she
might not. We're about to go into squirrel season.
Well, that's my thing. She's taken some job where she has to be out all the time.
Sure, she's probably channeling that somewhere.
Email?
It would be good to ask her what the status is.
Exactly. I would ask her what the status of squirrel refuge is.
Okay, I got it.
After hours?
After hours.
Just let me think for a second here. So I brought this today. Because I'm having my staff go out to not only the vets that the both of you went to and ask them, at least in the short term, to change out the signage, but then we bought a whole another 40 of these that we're going to go out to people who aren't on that list, be they alley cat at the mall or dog groomers or whatever, just other places that we could and our licensing agents obviously to put some signage up to again compel people in the short term to move forward with licensing, and then obviously we're going to note where we're dropping these off, and then we're going to come along with more signage, different signage, and continue with these things.
Nice.
Nice. I don't know if any of you are CVTV people, but Tuesday I got a 4-1 vote for raising the fees, and there was a counselor who suggested that I produce something like this and put it in property tax bills because, you know, gosh, the county, you know, was already mailing this out. Why aren't you doing that? Well, sorry, you didn't see that we did that 2 years ago, but we've tried that. And unfortunately, we thought it was a great idea, didn't really do anything. But then several of the other ones said, well, why don't you try it again? So I'm reaching out to the assessor already and trying to find out the timing and whatnot. Because I still have boxes and boxes and boxes of these, and it would be, I'll try, sure, why not?
Don't we have some kind of a newcomer service in town?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a good idea to see if we can get those in the newcomer packages. I know that they usually charge people fees for advertising in their packets.
So we've worked with the title companies in town. They don't necessarily have something like this, but they have their own little trifold things, like what do you need to know since you're moving here? Mm-hmm. Counselor Blum, the young guy who took Medora's spot, is a realtor, still is a realtor. He sounds like he's willing to do some light work for us with the realtor community, so that's great.
What about customer service counters at all the main grocery stores?
Well, I don't know if I don't shop at Safeway very much anymore because they're on the wrong side of the freeway from me. But I do remember that when I was there, they kind of had a donator of the month. Like, do you want to round up your sale to help?
They won't do anything local. It has to be more like national stuff.
Well,
I already
that's
checked.
Okay, so something like that. But no, the groceries. I don't know. You kind of get lost. There's just so much going on with People Magazine and Brad and Angela. It's kind of hard to
keep something on their bulletin board.
Maybe we let's take it to the liquor stores. The big ones.
You know, that's not a bad thing.
I bet you they would put that in every bag.
I'd like, where would you put it at the liquor store?
Oh, get
the cashers, put it in the bag.
Oh, God.
I do have to ask something, Paul, because I just took all that stuff, and then if you're going out and making a big push to get these in place, because it's next week that will become obsolete.
I know. So then, very
what
quickly,
what would you like to do? Okay, I mean, do you want me to take those out, or are you gonna?
No, I think what you're putting out doesn't have this message.
It doesn't have that in it.
It has the other feel-good ones.
Yeah, there's
that
all
are
the
kind
other
of,
ones are there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at least most of the other ones. I think I ran out of two of the five, but there's still other
ones.
Well,
we just
there.
Put the link to.
Give me a lot of them back, though, and
what
I'll
about,
take them over to Total Wine and Liquor by the mall.
Have you gone to apartment management leasing offices with these?
So I have an officer. In fact, we used our project employee through the end of the year to go out to the larger apartment complexes in town.
Okay.
We have a spreadsheet and a rotation when we go back to them. The property managers, the apartment property managers, were actually very interested because they didn't know who had pets either, and they want to know because sometimes they're not allowed or there's a pet deposit or something. So they've been very good to work with so far.
Yeah.
So I got 4 minutes. After hour services. So we have contracted with Critter Getter for literally decades. They ran into a health issue late last year, so they've been offline since
Larry okay?
November. They are back online as of Tuesday or so that's good. We did run into kind of the question of, is this really something that we need? Now, yes, we are contracted with the City of Vancouver to provide the service, but I don't know that we couldn't somehow talk them out of not providing that service. Phones are still going to ring over at Cressa asking for service, so someone would probably have to respond, so it would fall back to law enforcement, which may or may not be, something that the mayor or county council wants to do. So it just kind of brought that question to the fore when that gentleman was offline. When we did the RFP in 2014 for 2015 and 16, that we had a sole applicant, and we, went and shopped it around everywhere. I do need to get back with that individual and work on it. The contract provides for an extension, and so I need to work on that. 2017-18 budget, I hope you remember, agreed to remove the service dog discount due to the abuses of it. I also chose to no longer enter into a contract with the United States Department of Agriculture to provide coyote services. Mm-hmm. It just became apparent to me that every year it was the same customers calling with the same problem, and all we were doing was killing animals. And so you are still welcome as a citizen to call the USDA or go to our website, which contains a link. to local trappers, but if you want to have that service provided, it's on you to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Because
they were
meant
to be taken over at this.
They're out there. They're
going to
be
back.
They're out there. They're going to be there.
Okay. So in the budget, in the budget was provided the belief that we were going to move forward with the licensing fee increase that is now a reality, and or for those listening in February 1st, it's a reality. So we do plan on using that money to hire a fifth field officer. The job application window closed like January 9th, and I finally just stayed very late at work. I think it was Monday night, and finally looked through there were 65 that applied, 30 were filtered down to me through HR. It appears as though I'm interviewing either 8, 9, or 10. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty rich
nice.
Pool.
What about that guy that we had here the last time?
Yeah,
I thought he was kind of the...
He's a plant.
And he ran off screaming in the night.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He went back to Florida.
He's not.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, also, due to some recent cases, I spelled recent. It's not recent. It's recent cases. The city of Richfield. I think all I have to do is come up with a contract with a pricing scheme that they're comfortable with, and they're going to jump
nice.
For our services. They've had, in particular, one nagging horse case.
Ah,
see what I did there?
That was good. That was good.
That's a 10 groaner.
But also a lot of they're as that city, I think they have the designation of being the fastest growing mm-hmm. city in the state of Washington.
Yeah.
You know, when you have two people, it doesn't take much. But they are struggling, and so I think they're really looking to help have us help them, not only with just the man hours, but the expertise that we bring. Thank you.
Does that mean they'll adopt the county code too?
Well, okay, so that is one of the potential stumbling blocks. I have not had the time yet because I'm trying to go through budgets and I'm trying to go through hiring, but I really do need to sit and look at their code compared to ours and then outline the main differences and present that to Steve Stewart out there, the city manager, and try to get that to move forward. I also do believe that shortly thereafter, Le Center will do the same. They are growing, and they're kind of done with this type of work.
Mm-hmm. What about Battleground?
Battleground, I don't hear so much from them, but I think that again, if we price things appropriately, certainly we don't want to lose money. But if we can provide a better level of service at a fair price. And have all the online licensing and whatnot that offsets, the cost by the sale of licenses. Mm-hmm. That's
because I hear from their citizens when we're out at the farmers market, they'll say, "Geez, why don't you guys come out here to Battleground? They don't do anything for us." So, and I tell them to go to your city council, do what you need to do there.
One police officer that I spoke to from Battleground said that his officers love doing the animal control work, and then it's a 24-hour thing, which is not offered in Clark County, and blah, blah, blah. So there are two sides to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's a communication issue.
And I think a lot of Battlegroundians like to take care of issues mm-hmm. by themselves.
Yes, they do.
With bows and arrows.
Mm-hmm. And they have a contract with us, so we handle strays, mm-hmm.
yeah.
dogs and cats mm-hmm. for Battleground, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And dangerous dogs that come in attack.
That will be
and,
the harder one, shall we say. It's great that the others have worked out.
Yeah. We do get probably more calls for, Camas and then Battleground, just, hey, da-da-da-da, and then you can hear the dispatcher get an address. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not our jurisdiction. Yeah. For Camas, it's probably number one, simply because there's more people, and then Battleground is number two. Mm-hmm. I should note, before we move to the last one, under the 17-18 budget, talking about 15-16, we had in the last biennium a budget of $2,317,471. That's the budget. We wound up with $5,400 in the bank.
Wow.
So we did a pretty good job of spending it all. That's frankly a little too close for my... I kept every day I was over at Adrian's desk. Are there any more bills? Are there any more bills? Yeah. I think I'm out of money. But we did have that jump back up by about a $500,000 for the biennium, based upon an estimate on our part of due to the fee increases of about $250,000 per year, both city and county revenue. Finally, we are working with the county risk management department to provide the county a structured in-house training for other county employees, the assessor, the health department, some of the building community, and actually I got a phone call and we already conducted the training for WashDOT. People that are out in the field and come across dogs and don't know what to do. So we have a really nice PowerPoint, and the officers seem to enjoy giving these trainings. So what we're going to try to do is actually make it some sort of every 2 years it's a mandatory class that the county staff need to come and take. And risk management is all behind it because it helps the county have their employees be safer, which then ultimately...
Can we go through this?
It's like an hour. I'm just going to keep talking. I don't know if anybody has any questions about the statistics. I didn't really see anything on there that was other than just kind of in general when I went down to. I'm kind of a totals guy, you know. Licensing down 1%. I don't ever like to see a negative number in that area, but 1 is better than 2. There was a summary somewhere on December. Just up 4% for city and county combined for responses. And then up 11% for requests for service. So there's a couple in there that, you know, a 350% increase, but that's for wildlife, and we went from 2 to 9.
Yeah. Right.
There's another crazy one down here. Down 93%, but we went from 14 to 1 for service calls. And I just texted Adrian. She goes, that's just kind of all other. It's like whatever doesn't really fall into a category. It's not important. I think I have one more thing. I have not yet produced the 2016 annual report. That should be right after I get somebody hired. I got to get my priorities straight. There's just not enough hours in the day. And Lisa, there's one more. What am I not remembering? I just wanted to say that this was really the fee increase. I'm not going to say was hard fought. It was actually both city and county councils understood and were agreeable to it. I think a lot has to do with we just have a great relationship with them and they understand, and we've been sort of pleading our case long enough. What I really want to say is that my staff and graphic designer and our IT people really stepped up, because there's so much going on behind this. It's almost scary. Just the sheer number of materials that we've produced over the year and that are out in the community, and working with the PIO office on public service announcements, and the website has a temporary thing on it, and then they literally have to go in and reprogram our database and do testing on it, sort of thing, and there's meetings and, you know, emails. So I'm very thankful that we got it, and I'm very thankful that all of that work will be behind us as well.
So the CBTV thing.
Yes.
That was really cute.
He sent me the dialogue or whatever, and you know, is this accurate and whatnot? And I had no idea it was going to be kind of a cartoon thing, but it works.
It was cute. Yeah. I sent the link to, we put it on our Facebook. Your dog paw already.
What's interesting to me, though, is we put all this out, and there wasn't any increase in the fees, in the licensing.
In the frequency of licensing.
I wonder why that is.
I'm sorry.
I said we put all these out in all the veterinary hospitals, and I put one in the auto licensing place, and yet we didn't get more people buying license tags.
I think it has to do with the, it can't just be sitting there. Yeah, who's ever sitting next to it needs to make this happen with the customer. Hey, are you aware of the fact? Oh, I see in our system that you don't have a license. If they track that, I don't know. But take one of these home, you know, do the community in your app. They've got to sell it.
It's about the community. It's not, if you just make it about them, they've got every excuse as to why their animal doesn't need a license.
Right.
It's got to be beyond.
If I didn't work inside the city limits of Battleground, I'd be handing one out to everybody with a new puppy, and I see a lot of them, but they're all inside Battleground.
Sorry, Madam Chair, one more thing. When I was working with City Council on code amendments, including the fee increase, and McInerney Ogle brought to that body of people a desire by some citizenry inside the city limits to limit the number of hens, rabbits, and cats in the city, to which currently there are none. The only limit that there is you may not have turkeys, roosters, or peacocks, and you may have no more than three adult dogs. Those are the only restrictions they had. So there, I'll make this very brief. They had a workshop last week. At this point, they're going to move forward with a public hearing, and they threw out a number of 5, 5, and 5. So you may have a combination of 5 dogs or cats, you may have 5 hens, and you may have 5 rabbits. And then that's going to go to a public hearing, and they can discuss that. Okay. There was a discussion about if you owned some land greater than one half acre, that per every 1,000 square feet beyond the half acre that you have, then you would be granted some greater number of animals allowed on your property. You would have to go through some sort of a permitting system. They've done a comparative analysis in the state of Washington, found some things here and there. I think Olympia was the one that they're kind of going towards. The city of Portland does have something, so it's not unheard of in the area. I just wanted to let you know that is technically not a animal issue. It's a land use issue, so that will not be coming to this body. You're restricting what people can and can't do on their property, and animal control does not enforce that. So
they'd be going from 3 to 5 dogs. Assuming they didn't have any cats.
Correct. That's
so you 5 have animals, you any combination thereof.
Well, what I'm
No. Five.
You could have 15.
Okay. Oh, you can have 5 dogs and 5 cats.
No. 5 dogs or cats.
Oh, okay.
Or any combination of dogs and cats. The total 4, is 5.
Okay, those.
But you can 2. Also have 5 cats and chickens.
5 chickens.
Oh, okay. So
no
2
roosters,
categories.
And okay. 5 rabbits.
So I can have 15.
But Paul,
right. I'll get my 5 rabbits, my 5 chickens.
If your officers go out, wouldn't they, and they encounter a situation where somebody has 6, will they be issuing citations?
No, they would contact city code enforcement.
Oh.
Great. But you know that that phone call from the angry neighbor is going to come to
of course.
My dispatcher.
Yes,
because it's an animal issue in the citizen's eyes. And I get that. I get that. Yeah.
Trust me, there'll only be 5 chickens after tonight's dinner.
Well, they went into a very good discussion. Well, there's religious things, and there's families that depend upon those animals to put food on the table.
Yeah.
Or you have 7 children, they each get, you know, a rabbit apiece. You know, there's so there's always the, well, what if? This is not
within the city limits.
This was not a proposal that Animal Control put on the table, and at the end of the day, Animal Control will not have to handle.
Good.
It's
so,
a very generous number of animals.
Yeah, it is really.
Too.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
And the city of Long Beach doesn't allow any chickens.
So should any of you or anyone listening on the internet, the public hearing is scheduled for March 14th, and I believe that's typically an evening affair.
Shoot, I'll send out an email.
Sorry.
All right.
No, that's all right.
Anything, since we're already over our time, anything really exciting on
Only in that we adopted out 4,881 animals last year, which was the highest number of adoptions ever. We got so close to 5,000, which we will hit this year. You know, we will. Stray intake for cats was down by 7% this year. Stray dog intake, surprisingly, was up by 2%, but that was only like 20 dogs. Also, we euthanized 123 dogs and 364 cats this year.
But that's a lot.
364 cats in the entire year.
That's a hell of an improvement over what I remember.
We used to euthanize 364 cats in a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's really impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is
Well, and that's the community, you know, is stepping up with the spay and neuter and all the programs that have been implemented. So I think, you know, that would be really good PR to compliment the community again for stepping up and doing the right thing.
Speaking of spay and neuter, we altered spay and neuter 3,663 cats and dogs and rabbits this year, which was a 7% increase. Out of that, almost 1,000 were public spay neuters. The rest were all shelter spay neuters. And our live release rate this year for dogs was 96.5%, and for cats was 87.3%, and that was up from 82% last year. So overall live release rate this year was 92.4%.
That's great.
For both dogs and cats. So.
And the transfer in policy in the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, right. So we transferred in a total of 1,610 dogs and cats this year. 1,475 dogs and 130 cats. And
where are
five
you bringing
rabbits.
The cats in from?
Los Angeles. For the most part. And only during non-kitten season, if you will. So, like, we have cats coming in this month. We actually are also getting them from Cowlitz and other areas, you know, locally. So not just from California, but even in the winter months now, you can't really get cats from other areas.
The quality of the cat, the dogs that you get from L.A., these are amazing dogs.
Oh, yeah, they're hand-picked.
For and they aren't, you know, you can tell they weren't treated very well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in rough shape, but they... Great.
Interestingly, out of the total number of dog adoptions that we adopted this year, so we adopted, let's see, 2,580 dogs, and 57% of those adoptions were from dogs transferred in from outside of our jurisdiction. So. Over half the dogs that are adopted.
Yeah.
And this is consistent with the entire Portland metro area. So out of the entire Portland metro area, 50% of the dogs come from outside of our area.
So a dog breeding winery dog park.
I think that. Yeah. I think there's a lot of... You have to pay a fee to get in. It's like a door, door fee. And
I always want to do an indoor
walk your dog and drink your wine at the same time.
Indoor dog park where it's got, you know, lanes for ball dogs and other things for others. It could even have an automatic ball for you can have your wine or your cup of coffee and ball.
Until your dog drops over dead from exhaustion.
My dog.
When I was in college, at the vet school, on Friday afternoons at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the entire vet hospital would shut down, and all the students and all their dogs would gather on the front lawn, and somebody would bring in a keg, and you'd pay $1 for a cup of beer, and all the dogs would just
go in circles.
Oh my gosh.
I had a dog who would go and mug people for their beer. You know, they hold it down like this, and he'd just walk up and stick his snout in there and start drinking.
Well, I think we got a potential here. Maybe that should be fundraising.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
It would be an absolute blast.
Actually, it could be. And the cool thing is.
Well, as a fundraiser, though, you have to be careful because.
Right, you have to screen them.
You have to screen the patch.
Well, how about a little round table? Anybody have anything?
I'm going to Australia in March.
Oh, wow.
Bucket list trip.
Yep.
Fun. Exciting.
My brother was there.
Yeah, I'm a part.
Anything from you,
Sydney?
Lynn? Just go on around the
I'll
table.
Be in Sydney.
Round table? Nothing exciting?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
You are. Stephanie?
Is there a large one of these for the Horse Expo in March?
No, but yes.
And then I can have an entire box.
Okay.
Think?
Of the, you did this, so you mean the green thing
exactly
or the
green
or the
thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So perfect. Horse Expo.
If there's not a big one, I can try and finagle one. But I thought there was one, and that's.
There's the one that shows the horse that doesn't look so great. That's a poster, which that's fine. I'll just make you one of the other ones.
Nope. I've talked enough.
I think he has something else, but I don't. We have a sign.
So at the end of last year, I was trying to be creative on because enough requests that come through for people that are upset when they're out riding their bike, walking their dog on a leash, just out for a walk, and running across other dogs that aren't being cared for in the proper way. So I had these made up, but they actually made them with the wrong message. It's supposed to be this. So they're going to redo them because all this says is leashed. Well, that's really only half the message, isn't it?
Right.
They need to be leashed.
Well, so all dogs must be licensed and kept on a leash at all times. And then it actually, I had them throw this in there as well. It's a $100 fine if you choose to not do so.
Oh, that's always good.
So these will be redone. And I want to say we had maybe 50, 60 of them done. So, for instance, near me is the Salmon Creek Trail. You'd have one at both entrances, and then you would have a couple midstream to remind people that just because you're on the trail now and you're not in the parking lot doesn't mean you get to let Fido go.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And then there are there's a whole bunch of trail systems that we have already identified, and then there are some of the just actual like John Ball Park, which is like 3 blocks from our office,
we
that
need
needs
one
some signage.
At the park by our house because there's a field there where the kids play ball and everybody lets their dogs run wild there.
Well, so why don't you please send me an email that identifies the name of the park, and I can take it from there.
Okay.
That trail that goes along.
It's going to be possible.
Padden technically belongs to the state of Washington, so I'd have to find out whether or not I can post signage.
The discovery.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it possible to have one in a neighborhood?
Sure.
Because my neighborhood has a very small dog area. It's in front of a water swale, and that's where everybody stops and, you know, waters their dog.
Okay.
And we've handwritten signs,
sure.
But it'd be really nice to have.
Yeah, and we designed, you can't see it on this, but we designed this such that you could pop holes, or you could pop holes. So you could post it to a post, or you could post it to a fence.
Yeah, we have fence.
Yeah, so on a bioswale or something like that, then yes.
Well, the dogs aren't supposed to be in the bioswales anyway.
Well, they aren't. They're on the little grass plot in front of it that one of the neighbors takes care of.
So, Lynn, again, send me, like, the cross streets or whatever it is, because that parcel obviously doesn't have an address.
I will say one thing that's going to come up when our house sells is that we currently have a garbage can that we collect dog poop for the Salmon Creek Trail. Everybody uses it. We empty it once a week. It's anywhere from a half a can to an entire can of dog poop.
Like in bags and stuff.
And that's just something that we've just done as our community service, but it will be an issue as soon as we're gone, because I can't expect anybody buying the house to do the same.
No.
And it's a community that brings, they'll bring bags and stick them on the fence so that everybody has access to new bags, and they are very good about bringing everything and putting it in the garbage. My husband takes the tractor down, brings the garbage can up, we pay for its removal. So in the summertime, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it goes
at least
on year round. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, might be something that you're going to have to, they might have to get like a pooper scooper guy to come.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to take the garbage can out when we move so that just continues. Yeah. We got a thank you note from the dog walkers on the trail for our years of service.
Maybe put a note on top of the trash can now saying we will be moving at some point when this garbage can disappears. It's up to you guys to get it.
Well, they know. They're a community, but they'd like to have it.
What was the deadline that you needed that poster?
March.
And I believe, unless there's anything else, we're adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, the